Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin, daf Zion. We left off on the very bottom of daf Vav Amud Beis. Today's daf is comprised exclusively of Agadatas. We'll have a little bit about a little bit more about Pshara and the juxtaposition of Pshara versus Din. Then we'll have a bunch of Ma'amore Chazal, some various different sayings, popular sayings in the time of Chazal that we're going to find grounding for in the various psukim. And in the course of that conversation, we are going to mention some psukim that have to deal with the appointment of dayanim who are not appropriate, who are not fit to be dayanim, and the peril of appointing a dayan who is not fit to be a dayan. Today's shiur, as the shiurim in the past, over the past week or 2 weeks have been, is once again sponsored by the Newman family, Lizchus Refuah Shleima for Avishai's father, Chaim Naftali ben from Freida, and we hope, of course, that the zchus of our learning serves as a zchus for a quick and speedy refuah. We thank the Newman family very much for the sponsorship. So let's dive in. It's easy Gemara, but it's a lot to read. So we have a little bit to get through. So we left off again three lines up from the bottom on Vav Amud Beis, smack in the middle of the line. It says Heichadami Gemar Din. So we had been saying yesterday, just to get us back into the sugya, we had been saying yesterday that we saw Machlokas, actually, whether or not it's appropriate to offer up a compromise as an alternative to Din. Everybody had said that you're not allowed to offer a compromise after the Din has already been complete. So in other words, if your case has already been litigated fully in court, and we're up to the Gemar Din. We saw yesterday Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, what it means, Gemar Din. Does it mean actually Ishploni Atachayev, Ishploni Atazakai? Or does it mean that the Dayanim haven't rendered their official verdict, but they've already deliberated and they know what the verdict is going to be? At that point, you are no longer able to offer up a Pshara. So what is this Gemar Din? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Ishploni Atachayev, Ishploni Atazakai. It means that they give their verdict. So Amar Rav, Halacha Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. The halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha had said that compromise is good. We saw yesterday in Machlokes, is compromise good or is compromise bad? One mandiyama referred to it as pshara, which is a positive descriptor. And the other mandiyama referred to it as bitsua, which is from the pasuk Botsea Berech Nietz Hashem, which is a very pejorative descriptor. So over here we have the Rav Paskalin Rabbi Shua ben Karcha that pshara is a good thing. Says the Gemara, Eini Rav Huna Talmide de Rav Have. We see that Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav Ki Avi Asul Kaimei de Rav Huna, and when somebody would come before Rav Huna, Amar Luhu, he would say E Dina Beiso E Pshara Beiso. That either you could have pshara or you could have din. And if pshara were really a mitzvah, like Rabbi Shua ben Karcha said, then why was he giving people the option? He should have tried to direct people to select the type of adjudication that is actually a mitzvah. In other words, he should have tried to push people to pshara. So why was he just giving people, a free option, as it were? So says the Gemara, my mitzvah nami, the Gemara Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. So explains the Gemara, what does it mean when Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says that pshara is a mitzvah? It means mitzvah lameimra lu e dina biisu e pshara biisu. It doesn't mean that it's actually a mitzvah to select pshara. It means that it's a mitzvah to afford the balei din an option. Either you could have din or you could have pshara. So says the Gemara, well, in that case, Hainu Tanakama. That is exactly the shita. That is exactly the shita of the Tanakama, because the Tanakama says Rashi on the top line, Hainu Tanakama diyamar nigmar adin. The Tanakhama said that once you have a Gmar Din, then you're not allowed to do Pshara. Ha mikodem Gmar Din, Rashoi Libsoa, Vachanami Rishusu. But the Tanakhama, the Mashmos from the Shita of the Tanakhama, is that before Gmar Din, you're allowed to do Pshara. Yeah, you're allowed to do Pshara, meaning that it's an option, not that it's an actual mitzvah. Now it turns out that what Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha is also telling me is that I'm allowed to do it. Not that I'm necessarily encouraged to do it, but I'm allowed to do it. So says the Gemara, Ikebinayu Mitzvah. No, the difference is, the nafkamina is whether it's a mitzvah. What does it mean, a mitzvah? You just told me that it's not a mitzvah to do pshara. Right, but is it a mitzvah to tell the balei din that they have an option of pshara? That's the way Rashi explains. Yikabedaya mitzvah. mitzvah lahazkir pshara. L'tanakama like a mitzvah. According to the Tanakama, there is no mitzvah at all even to mention pshara. Tanakama sovar rishus. So the Tanakama holds it's a rishus, that you don't even have to offer the baldin an option of pshara, whereas Rav Yeshua ben Karcha says it's a mitzvah to offer the balei din the option of either din or pshara. There's no mitzvah necessarily to select pshara, but there's a mitzvah to offer the option at least of pshara. Says the Gemara, Hainu de Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. But if that's what the Tanakhama holds, then that seems like Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. If you're going to tell me that pshara is a stama rishus and there's no mitzvah to do pshara, no mitzvah to offer pshara, that's what Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya says. It says the Gemara, Ike benayu mishetishma devrayim vata yedea leichana din note. The machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shua ben Karcha is after the Dayanim have already heard the arguments of the litigants, and they know which direction the din is going to turn, they know which direction the verdict is going to come out, that you're not allowed to say to them any longer, tzu vitzu. So in other words, so if you look in Rashi over here, Ika b'nai mishtamea devrayim, the Tanakhama, afilu shama devrayim rashoi liftsoa, Ache yigmor adin v'yomar zechayev zezakay v'zechayev. Tanakhama says that even after they've heard the case in its entirety, they're allowed to offer up shara so long as they haven't issued the actual gmar din. However, l'Rav Shimon ben Menasya mishetishmas devrayim v'yadata leichan nota. However, according to Rav Shimon ben Menasya, once you hear the litigants' arguments and you know which way the din is tilting, then in that case, afal gav lo nigmar adin ein rashoy liftsoa. Even though you have not yet had a gmar din, you're still not allowed to have the compromise. So it turns out that there were really four shitos about pshara that are in the Gemara, and some of them are very, very similar to one another, but it comes out like this. The first shita is Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, who says that it's a mitzvah for the Dayan to say that you can have the option of pshara. It's a mitzvah to give him the option, but it's not necessarily a mitzvah to do the pshara. Whether or not the litigant selects pshara is totally a rishus, but it's a mitzvah to give him the option. The next is the shita of the Tanakhama, who says that everything's a rishus. If you want to, you can give the balei din an option of pshara. If they want to, they can select pshara, but there's no mitzvah at all. And also the Tanakhama says that the only time it's optional to do pshara is until gmar din. After gmar din, you lose that option. The third shita is Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, who says also it's optional to give the option of pshara. It's a total rishus to give the option of pshara. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to select pshara. But oh, by the way, you can't give the option of pshara after the point at which the Dayanim have already heard the arguments and know which way the din is tilting. And then the fourth shita is Rabbi Lazar. We saw Rabbi Lazar yesterday, who holds that it's usher to do pshara, because he learns this from the pasuk of Botzei Aberech Nietz Hashem, that pshara is not a good thing at all, it's a bad thing, and therefore you're not supposed to do it at all. Okay, so those are the four shitos regarding compromise. So says the Gemara now, Upligi de Rab Tamchon Bar Chaniloi, and this argues, we'll see what this is in a second, this argues on Rab Tamchon Bar Chaniloi, Diyama Rab Tamchon Bar Chaniloi, Honemar Mikrazeh, this pasuk of Botzea Berech Nietz Hashem, that's the way Rashi says, that this pasuk of Botzea Berech Nietz Hashem is talking about something different. So it's Ella Kenegen Maisa Egel. It's talking about the Maisa HaEgel. Tosfos over here happens to argue. He says that the Gemara is not saying what the pasuk Botzea Berech Nietz Hashem is referring to. He's talking about Akra de Toras Emes Koi, Dechsev Besefe, Verabim Heshiv Me'avon Shayolem Takona Kedemasik. He says that the pasuk by Aaron HaKohen of what we learned in yesterday's shiur, that Aaron HaKohen used to run after pshara, and we learned it from the pasuk of Torah Semes Hoysa Befiyu, that pasuk actually is not talking about pshara at all. That pasuk is talking about the Maisa Egel. But whatever pasuk it is that the Gemara is referring to, the pasuk doesn't have to do with pshara, it has to do with the Maisa Egel. Shenemar, as it says like this, Vayar Aaron, Vayivan Mizbeach Lefanav, that Aaron saw and he built a Mizbeach. This is by the Maisa Egel. So Ma Ro, what did he see? Zamar Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, Zamar Rabbi Lozar, Ro Chur Shazavuach Lefanav, he saw that the people, the Bnei Yisrael, had already killed Chur, that Aaron's brother-in-law, and Amar, and he said, Ilo Shamana Lehu, Hashta, if I don't listen to them now, Avdili Kad Avdi Bechur, they're going to do to me what they did to Chur, Umekayim Bi, and they're going to be Mekayim to me in the Pasuk. And we have a little bit of a Dafyama coincidence here with the 9 days starting tonight, the Pasuk quoted from the Kinnas, from the Navi, Im Yeharug B'Mikdash Hashem, Koin V'Navi. And this, of course, is talking about, this is really talking about the Nevuah of Zechariah. However, Aaron HaKohen applied this to the situation that he found himself in, of the Kohen and the Navi being killed in a single day. Velo Avilu Takanta Liolam. And there is no way that Klal Yisrael would be able to rebound from that grave sin of killing a Kohen and a Navi on one day. Who's the Kohen and the Navi? So the Pasha Pshat is that the Kohen and the Navi is that Chur was the Navi, he was already dead, Aaron is the Kohen, and if they killed Aaron also, then they would kill a Kohen and a Navi in one day. Rashi says, not like that. Rashi says, he saw that they already killed Chur, so he saw that they were thirsty for blood, and he was afraid that if he stood in their way, they would kill him. Who was the Kohen and the Navi? Aaron was both the Kohen and the Navi. So if they killed one person, they would kill two birds with one stone, figuratively, and they would kill the Kohen and the Navi in a single day. They would never be able to rebound from that grave sin. So says Aaron, he made a cheshbon like this. Mutav de le'avdu le'egel, let's better that they serve the egel, efshar havile takanta b'tshuva, maybe they'll be able to do tshuva. So in other words, better that they worship the egel, and not that they kill me, because if they kill me, they're going to kill a Kohen and a Navi on the same day. We saw in the Kinnas, we saw in the Navi what the killing of the Kohen and the Navi the same day did. It caused the destruction where it led. It was symptomatic of the attitude that led to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. He wanted to prevent them from that avera. Vahani Tanoi. Now these Tanoim. Poter Mayim Rashis Madon Maidarshi Bay. So what did these Tanoim do with the Pasuk of Poter Mayim Rashis Madon, which we had said that until you have the din, you're allowed to deviate, you're allowed to go and do Pshara. So what did they do with this Pasuk? So they learned Kadarav Amnuna, the Amar Rav Amnuna, Ain't Chilas Dino Shal Adam Nidon Ella Al Divrei Torah. When a person gets up after 120, his first din, the first question that they're going to ask him when he gets upstairs is going to be on Dinei Torah, is going to be on Divrei Torah rather. Shenemar Poter Mayim Reishis Madon. Because the Tchilas Din, the Reishis Madon, is going to be on Mayim, and Tosfos is Nimshal, and Torah rather, is Nimshal to Mayim. The Freudian slip is because we were going to say what Tosfos points out, El Al Divrei Torah. Tosfos over here says that that this is not really true. V'adar Minim Aperik Bamim Adlikin, we see in Mesech HaShabbos, Shoshoan Lin Lo, Nasata V'Nasata Be'amuna. The first question in the Din is not on Dina, is not on Divrei Torah, it's on whether you were an honest person in your business dealings, and only after that, after they ask him nasata v'nasata b'emuna, do we ask him whether kavata itim latorah. So says the Tosfos, over there in the Gemara Shabbos, we're talking about a person who learns Torah. So if he's Osek Betorah, it's obvious that he's learned some Torah, and therefore we're not going to open with that question. But Hacha Mayri Kishalasa Klal. Over here we're asking with a guy who's not Osek Betorah at all, therefore we're going to point out the obvious shortcomings in him by first asking him, Kavata Itim La Torah. Inami Shorlam Lo Tchila Maso Matem Be'amuna Mikomok Mikabel Dino Tchila Al Divrei Torah. Or maybe what we're not referring to here, the first question that we ask, and maybe the first question that he's asked upstairs is Nasata v'nasata b'amuna. However, the punishment that he gets, if a person is going to get a punishment, it's going to be first on account of the fact that he did not set aside time for Torah appropriately. V'chi darish le lekrot tchilas gilui dino b'meshe notchu midivrei Torah, that the beginning of his din, the beginning of the actual judgment that he'll receive, is on the fact that he did not learn Torah. And then, of course, there's a famous vart that all of these questions really are references to various siddurim and shas. So really, it's all about divrei Torah. So says the Gemara Vayter, second wide line. So Amar Rav Huna, hay tigra demaya, this stream of water. In other words, this machlokes litzinura debitka demaya. Even the Ravach Ravach, that the water, once it goes into a gushing channel, once it starts flowing, it starts flowing. So in other words, also like machlokas, once you let it get out of control, it just keeps on going. It just keeps on getting deeper and deeper. Abaye Kshishamar, Dami Laguda Degamla, the machlokas is like a plank in a new bridge. Kevan to come. Once they used to build bridges out of wooden planks, once it would settle in and get really firm, it would get really firm. So in other words, same. So too, just like machlokas, once you let it fester a little bit and foment a little bit, it gets very difficult to break out of. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. Hahudavi Kamar V'Azil, there was a person who used to say, Tovia deshama va'adish, that fortunate is a person who is accustomed to hearing insults directed to him and keeps quiet. Chalfu abishte meya, that his misfortune, that his embarrassment caused 100 misfortunes to pass him by. So Rav Shmuel Rav Yehuda. So Rav Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, "Oh, this famous saying, this parable is really based in a pasuk. Kruxiv, poter mayim reishis madon. It said poter mayim reishis madon, and reish." Is what's Reishis Madon? Reish Meya Dini. So, in other words, if a person just lets things roll off his back like water, he's not going to respond to the insults that are hurled at him. Reishis Madon, he's safe from 100 dinim. Madon Meya Dini. Others say that Madon is Begamatria, 100. So says the Gemara Vayter, Udavi Kamar Ve'ozil. A treitlas ganve lo miktal, for two or three incidents of theft, a person is not going to be killed. And Amar le Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, so Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda again, Kroksev, this is really based in a pasuk. Ko amar Hashem al shlosha pishe Yisrael, on three sins of Yisrael, I'll forgive them, v'al arba lo ashivenu. However, the fourth time, I'm not going to forgive them. So you can get away with something two, three times, but when you get too accustomed to it and you start doing it more than that, then you're going to be punished. There was a person who was wont to say, Shev birei l'shalmana v'chada l'avad bish, that seven pits for a man of peace and a person won't get harmed by them. But however, if you put one pit in front of a bad person, then he's going to fall into the first pit that he passes by. And Hermele Shmuel, Rav Yehuda Kroksev, this is also a pasuk, Kisheva yipol tzadik v'kam. It says in the pasuk, Kisheva yipol tzadik. Kisheva yipol tzadik vikam, and Rashi says, right, yipol betakol rishon abola, right, that a person is going to that the tzaddik will be saved, that the tzaddik will be saved even if he passes by seven potential hazardous situations, but the rasha is going to fall the first time that he encounters a hazardous situation. Hu davi kamar viyazil, there was a person who was wont to say, mibeidina shakel glima, if a person goes to a din Torah and they literally take his cloak, they clear him out. Lizmar zemar v'lezel biyurcha. He should sing a nice tune and go on his way merrily. So he should go on his way merrily. So the question is, why should he? Why should he do this? So if you look in Rashi says that demi bebina shaklua glime, about 2/3 of the way down, misha nutlo basin talisu lafra la'acher, if basin takes his talis to pay it to somebody else, lizmor v'lezel, he should sing hoil v'din emes danu, since the basin reached a din emes, lo hifsid klom, he's not lacking anything, elegzelo tziyamiyado, he was holding on to something improperly, and therefore they're actually saving him from gzela. They facilitated the return of the gzela. That's a good thing. And Amar Shmuel Rav Yehuda Kroksiv, there's also a pasuk about this, Vigam kolam hazeh al makomo yavo b'shalom. They should go to their place b'shalom. In other words, you should be happy about the psak of Basin. Hu da'ave kamar v'yalzo, there was a person who used to say, he naima v'dikula shafil, that when a woman sleeps, her basket lowers. And Rashi explains that this means that when a woman gets lazy, she gets very unproductive. Ketiv, and Amrle Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, Kroksiv, Ba'atzaltayim, Yimach HaMikra. With laziness, the ceiling sags. So the ceiling sagging is supposed to remind us of the basket that's on a woman's head, lowering when she's sleeping, but it's all a parable for somebody who's lazy is not going to be very productive. Hudu Kamar V'Azil, there was a person who used to say, Gavra Derechitzna Alei, if a person is trusted, then Adaya Legzize V'Kam, then he's going to stand again, then the raised fist is going to stand against me. So what exactly does this mean? So Amar Leh Shmuel Rav Yehuda Koksiv, Gam Ish Shlomi Asher Batachti, Rashi says that Harim Agrofei Alai Vamed Lenegdi. In other words, he's going to get into a fight. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter Hu Davi Kamar ViOzil Ki Rachimtim, that when the love between a husband and wife is strong, Apusya de Safira Shchivan, they could sleep on a bed that's as wide as the width of a sword. So in other words, they don't need a lot of space at all. However, now that the love is not strong, even a bed of 60 cubits is not going to be enough for us. And is not going to be enough for us. So just Rav Shechter has an interesting explanation that he brings down in the name of the Rav, what exactly all of these different limudim are coming to teach us. Over here, we start with talking about Pshara, and then we go with a bunch of various random parables that people used to say, and then we try to find grounding for them in the Pasuk. So he brings from the Rav that the point is, what we were just discussing was we were discussing din. As an alternative to din, we were talking about pshara. So he says, lest you think that pshara is something that you just turn things over to the dayanim, to the arbitrators who are going to preside over the dispute, and that they're going to, you know, pick a number out of a hat, or they're going to do whatever they think is right based on a gut feeling, and it's not really grounded in anything. So that's why we bring all these psukim, to teach us that even common parables, common sayings, have grounding in psukim. So if a judge does something, even if it's not minadin, even if it's because of pshara, because of a sense of something that he has, know that whatever the dayanim do, they're doing with a connection to Divrei Torah. There's a foundation for what they're doing, even in the Divrei Torah. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Huna Kroiksivi May Karaksiv and Adi Dilchasham. And now on this concept of when the love is strong, you can be in a very tight place, and then when the love dissipates, you need even a lot of space can't contain them. There are psukim about this. First, it says Vanadi Dilchasham of Dibarati Yitzchami Ala Kapores, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina, presented from on top of the Kapores. Vatanya Aron Tisha of a Kapores Tefach. The Aron was Tisha Tefachim. The Kapores was a Tefach. Harei Kanasara Ksiv Bayis Asher Bana Melech Shlomo Lashem Shishemama Arkov Esrim Rachbov Ushloshemama Kamoso Ulifsovsksiv Komar Shem Ashemaim Kisiv Aretz Hadom Ragloi. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying that nothing can contain me. In other words, even this grand Beis HaMikdash was not able to contain the Shechina because there was a distance between the Shechina and Klal Yisrael. Masha Einkein, when there was a closeness between the Shechina and Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was somehow able to get a Shechina down to the level of Asarat Tfachim. He was able to get even in a very, very tight space. So Ezabayas Asher Tivnu Li. Okay, so says the Gemara, My Mashma Dai Lo Saguru Lishna Dichenushehu. How do you know that Lo Saguru Bifneish, we had quoted this pasuk yesterday, me is a lashon of withdrawal? So Rav Nachman, Amar Kra, V'yayin Lo Sishte V'lo Se'egar. Because that Saguru is also a lashon of withdrawing. You are not going to drink, you are going to withdraw from wine. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Me'acha, Tachin B'chayitz Lachma, Egra B'katzir Machala, that whoever makes the preparations will gather in the harvest. So gathering in means also to withdraw, means to keep to yourself. We were saying yesterday was Losa Guru, that do not keep to yourself. In other words, do not withhold a judgment if it's supposed to come out against a strong-minded person. Do not desist from speaking your mind if you're sitting in front of your Rebbe and you see him being done a din Torah and you think that he's getting something wrong. So says the Gemara continues, Ra'acha b'rid Rav'ika mar'me'acha Oger b'kayitz ben maskil. The wise son is going to gather in the kayitz. So we see it's a lashon of ingathering, a lashon of keeping to yourself. I MS moment you're a simon. Summer of Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amaravian. A son called Dayan Shadon the MS Lamito. Any Dayan who has done a din MS la amito that mashrash shechina be Yisrael is going to cause the shechina to rest on Klal Yisrael. Tosfos just points out what's din MS la amito. So din MS means that you're judging correctly. In other words, that you're judging according to what it says in the halacha. And amito is that you are able to listen to and process the arguments of the litigants and discern who's telling the truth. That's why there's two levels of MS. MS in terms of the arguments that are being presented to you, and Amito in terms of that you're also getting the halacha correct once you assimilate those arguments. But if you do that, then you're going to cause the Shechina to rest in Klai. So Shanemar, Elohim Nitzav, Ba'adaskel, Bekerav Elohim Yishpot, V'chol Dayan, She'ina Don Din Emes Lamito, Gorim L'Shechina, Shetetalik Me Yisrael. And if you're not judging Din Emes Lamito, you're going to cause the Shechina to leave Klai Yisrael. Shanemar, Mashod Aniyim, En Kasav Yonim, Atakam Yomar Hashem, okay, so V'omer Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omer Rav Yochanan, Kol Dayan Shenotel Mizev Enosein Lazesh Shelo Kedin, any Dayan who takes from one person, gives to another person Shelo Kedin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Notel Mimeno Nafsho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his life. Shenemer Al Tigzol Dol Kidalu, do not steal from a poor person because he's poor, V'al Tidka Oni Bishar, but Ki Hashem Yariv Rivam V'Kavas Koveyem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to wage their battle for them and is going to ruin the lives of those who ruined them. Okay. As Koveyam Nefesh. V'yamar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Rav Yonasan Li'olam Yerodayin Asmakilu Cherev Menachas Lo Ben Yarchosav. A person, a Dayan, should always view himself as if he literally has a sword between his thighs. V'genem Psuchel Ometachtav. And Gehenim is open, the mouth of Gehenim is open beneath him. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Hine Mitaso Shel Shlomo Shishim Giborim Savivla. The Mitaso Shel Shlomo. And Rashi points out Shcheino Shalmakam. Shlomo doesn't really mean Shlomo Amelech. Shlomo means the Shechina, as is the case wherever it says Shlomo in Shira Shirim. That the Bet of Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shishim Giborim Savavla. There were 60 Giborim surrounding him in Gibori Yisrael. Kulam Achuze Cherev Melom De Milchama Ishcharbo Al Yerecho Mipachad Balelos. They're all holding swords. Like we said, the Dayan should view himself as if there's a sword between his thighs, and they're all afraid of the terror of night. What is that? What's the terror of night? Mipachta shel Gehenim. It's the pachad of Gehenim shedoma lelaila. It's the pachad of Gehenim, which is compared to a night. So the achronim work on over here. What's the comparison? If we're trying to say that it's a Dayan who should view himself as if he has a sword in between his thighs, why are we bringing a pasuk about mitasa shel Shlomo shishim giborim saviv? Why are we talking only about 60 giborim around the bed? That haray, there were 70 giborim there, so there should have been 71, right? Because the Dayanim are 71 in the Sanhedrin, not 60. So some of them say that the way that they used to seat the Dayanim was that first of all there was an Av Basin, right? The one who presided, what we said a couple of days ago, first was Moshe Rabbeinu, but that head and then the 10 most outstanding Talmidei Chachamim in the Basin would sit in the middle, and then everybody else would sit around them. So this pasuk is referring to who are the 60 who are around the bed. It's the 60 who, in addition to the 11 who are sort of in the center. So it's the 60 around the bed. So there is some connection between the number 60 and a basin. But the achronim work on it because really it's difficult to understand why 60 as opposed to 70 or 71, as we saw the two shitas as to how large the Sanhedrin Agadol was. So says the Gemara Vayter. More drasha. So Dorosh Rav Yosef Yisemer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. May Dechsev Beis David Koamar Hashem Dino La Boker Mishpat Vatzilu Gozel Miado Sheik. Why does it talk about judging in the boker? Is only the morning fit for judging, but not the rest of the day? Rather, it's saying that if you're a Dayan, if what your psak is going to be is as clear as day to you, then you could say it. Vimlav, but if the psak that you want to say is not as clear as the morning, Al Tomreyu, don't say it. That it says, Emer If the limud is as clear to you as the fact that your sister is usher to you from arayas, then you should go ahead and say it. Vimlav, and if it's not as clear to you as the basic halacha that your sister is usher to you, then al tomreyu, then you should not say it. So you should have to be very, very careful to make sure that it's that what you're going to say is very, very clear to you and is correct. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Asar Shiyoshman Bedin. If you have 10 people who are sitting to render a judgment, then Kolor Tole B'Tzavar Kulam. There is a chain as if that's surrounding all of their necks. So it says Pshita. So it says it's Pashat. Obviously, we're just talking about how seriously a Dayan has to take his task and how and you know what a sense of responsibility that a person has to have. So of course it's Pashat. Says Gemara Lotzricha El Talmud Yoshev Lifnei Rabbo. No, we're talking about a Talmud who's sitting in front of his and sitting in front of his Rebbe. And Rashi points out that this Talmud is not even part of the Beis Din. Uba Din Lifnei Rabbo Vula Nizkak LeDavar Nenashem Shasak Vu Maven Barabo Shatoa. Rashi says he'll still be punished if he sees that his Rebbe is making a mistake if he just sits there quietly and doesn't speak up. Ravuna kiavi osi dina lekamei. When Ravuna would have a din come before him, michna fumaisi asar rabban, and he would gather 10 other rabbis mibei rav amar kiyeched lemtaya shiva mikshuras, that they should hold up a chip of the beam as well. So what does that mean? In other words, that he wanted to spread the responsibility over more people rather than shouldering the entire beam. So as it were, the entire responsibility of the din on himself, on his own shoulders, he wanted to spread the responsibility around to the others as well. Ravashi kaviyasi trefosel kamei, when a trefa would come before Ravashi to paskanon, machnem famaisi lulukulu tafchi demasa machsia, he would bring all of the butchers of Masa Machsia around, and Amar ki echid limtu shiva mikshura. Again, similar idea, so that they should all bear a little bit of responsibility for the psak that we're about to render. Kiyosa Rav Dimi Amar, Darish Rav Nachman Bar Kohen, Mai dechsev melech pemishpat yamid eretz v'ish trumas yarsenu, im dayan dome lemelech, if the dayan is dome to a king, shein etzorech leklum, who doesn't need anything, then yamid eretz, v'im dome lekohen, shemachzer bebeis agranos, but if he's like a kohen, who's always going to the beis agranos to collect his truma, then yarsenu, then he's going to overthrow it. So what does this mean, that he's like a kohen who's collecting the truma? So Rashi and Tosfos explain, two different pshatim. The first pshat is that just like a kohen always has to go to the Beis Agronos to collect the Truma, so too this Dayan always has to go to other rabbis to ask questions, because he is always unsure of the halacha of the din himself, and therefore he's not a self-sufficient Dayan, he's always got to go ask people. Tosfos also explains in other pshat that literally, no, it means that he's like a kohen who doesn't have his own living. He's not a wealthy person, and he's always getting subsidies from others. This dayan, if he's not a wealthy person, then we're afraid he's going to take bribes. And if he's going to take bribes, that's going to be horrible. So that's why if the dayan is purely independent, then it's a good thing. If he's dependent on others, then it's a bad thing. The Beinasiya Kimna Dayana Dlo Avi Gummer. The Beinasiya appointed a Dayan who was not a learned person. Armale Yudah Bar Nachmeni Maturgamina de Reish Lakesh, and they said to Yudah Bar Nachmeni, the Maturgaman for Reish Lakesh, Kumale Aba Amora, yeah, you go serve as the spokesperson of this Dayan and try to make him sound respectable. So you'll try to make him sound learned. So come Gachan Aleh. So he bent over him to see if he was saying anything that he would then transmit to the people. And the Dayan was just sitting there like a mute. He wasn't saying a thing. So Pasach V'yamar, so this Maturgaman got up and started darshaning. Hoy Amar la'eit sakitza ori la'even domeim hu yore. That can a dumb rock teach? So yineu tafuzov v'kesef v'kol ruach ein b'kirbo. That he's overlaid with gold and silver, but there's nothing in there. There's nothing inside. He looks like a distinguished person, but he's really a nobody. V'yosu d'Kadosh Baruch Hu lipara me'ma'amidin. And that Kadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately going to pay back people who appoint Dayanim like this. Shenemar v'Hashem be'chal kacho has mipanav kol ha'aretz. The entire world is silent before him. So I'm Yesh Lakesh Kalamabe Dayan Shayna Hagun. If a person appoints a Dayan Shayna Hagun, Kila Nota Asherah Bi Yisrael. It's as if he's planting an Asherah tree in the middle of Klal Yisrael. So why is it? So the Aruch Laner explains why is it as if he's Nota an Asherah? Why is it as if he's planting an Asherah tree, not as if he's worshiping an Asherah tree? So the answer is because if you appoint a Dayan who doesn't know anything, it's possible that he's not going to render any Piskei Halacha. So it's not lav dafka that he's going to get the Halacha wrong, because maybe the guy's too dumb to actually Paskin Halacha. He doesn't know anything anyway. So it's not like actually worshiping an Asherah, but you're doing something inappropriate because you're appointing somebody who doesn't know anything in a position of authority where he has to know something. And that's like planting an Asherah tree, not actually doing the worshiping, but planting. And what's the pasuk? Shneamar shoftim v'shotrin titein lecha v'samach le'losita lecha Asherah kolaitz. We have the pasuk shoftim v'shotrim, and then next to that we have the pasuk of losita lecha Asherah kolaitz. There's your juxtaposition. So I'm Rav Ashi. And in a place where there are Tamidei Chachamim, in other words, that you appoint a judge who's not learned, and there's another pool of qualified applicants from whom you could have made the appointment, that you're going and skipping a bunch of qualified people to appoint a guy who doesn't know anything, then kilonoto etzol mizbeach. Then it's not even like you're planting an Asherah in Klal Yisrael, it's like you're planting an Asherah right next to the mizbeach. Shenemar etzol mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. Ksiv lo sasen iti Elokei Eloei Kesef Eloei Zav. It says that you cannot make for me Eloei Kesef and Eloei Zav. Says the Gemara, Eloei Kesef, Eloei Zav, hu d'lo avdi ha-de'et shari. So what am I supposed to infer from here? That I'm not allowed to make gold and silver idols, but I'm allowed to make wooden idols? Is that possible? Chash v'sholom. So I'm a Rav Ashi. No, Eloha bo bishvil kesef, Veloha bo bishvil zav. In other words, don't make a god that responds to kesef and zav. And the Rashi explains, Dayan shemidu ayidei shenasa mamon lamelech al kach. In other words, don't appoint a guy not because he's learned, but because he gave a nice donation to the king, and he basically bought his way into the position. And we've been seeing since the beginning of the Masechta the word Elohim. Over here, the pasuk pshat in the pasuk, it means avodah zarah, but it's also a reference to dayanim. So don't make Elohei Kesef and Elohei Zav who buy their way into the judgeship. Says the Gemara Vayter, Rav ki avi asi lebedina. When Rav would come to Basin, Amar heche baros nafshe liktala, of his own will he's going to be killed. Nafik vitzvi beise lesu avid, and the duties of his house he is not fulfilling. Verekan lebeise ayil, and he's going to return to his house empty. Ulavai shete bia ki yitzia, but halavai his coming should be like his going. So what exactly does this mean? So Rashi says that Vitzivu Beisei Leshu Avid, that he's not doing the duties of his house. Sorche Beisei in Osakan. In other words, he's not getting anything accomplished at home here by being in court. Reikon LeBeisei Ayil Sheinu Misaker Kan Klum, because a judge is not supposed to benefit at all from rendering any Piskei Halacha. He's not supposed to benefit at all financially. Levai Shetei Bia Sheechzer LeBeisei Ki Yetzia Sheyatzasi MiBeisei Blochei Shelo Eta VeEnash. And he's basically, it's a little tefila that he used to make that halavai, I should go back home the same way I came out. Just like I came out of my house this morning without chait, so too I should not have any sin before me. I should not mess up any psak halacha today when I'm presiding over the court. Kavichazi Ambua Abasrei, when he would see a crowd running after him, Amar Imyalo Lashamayim Seyo, if his stature reaches up to Shamayim, Kiglalo Lanetzach Yovetz. In other words, he would say this pasuk to sort of debase himself a little bit, to ground himself so that he shouldn't get haughty. Marzutra Chasida Kavi Mechasvile B'Shabbat Duragila, when they would carry Marzutra Chasida on their shoulders to get him up to the lectern to give the shir, when on the Shabbos of the Regal, before the Yontif, like Shabbos HaGadol, Shabbos Shuva, when everybody would come, Samar Hachi Kilo Li Olam Chosein, that the world is not driven off of riches, Vimnezer Lidor Dor, that the crowns last for generations. In other words, he was also saying this so as to ground himself in a little bit of humility to make sure that he doesn't get too full of himself with the cover that they're giving him. Darash Bar Kapara, Mina Milsa Diamar Rabbanan Heve Mesunin Badin. How do we know this, that the rabbis say that you have to be deliberate in judgment? Tichsiv Losale B'malos. It says we're not allowed to put steps by the Mizbeach, that you're not allowed to go up on the Mizbeach by steps. You have to walk up a ramp. So we draw a comparison between Milos HaMizbeach and a din. So what's the issue with Milos? So the issue with Milos is that it's much easier to jump quickly up steps than it is to run up a ramp. Because when you're running up a ramp, usually you're running like this a little bit back, so you're walking a little bit more slowly. Whereas steps, you could jump, you could take two or three at a time. So this is teaching us that just like, and what did we say? The Sanhedrin was near the Mizbeach. So when you are, and also the Mizbeach, this Pasuk of the Mizbeach, was right next to the Pasuk of Eilam Mishpatim. So just like when you're walking up to the Mizbeach, you have to walk deliberately up a ramp, so too, when you're judging, you have to judge very deliberately. You have to have a Mesunim Badin. You have to judge very deliberately. Samar Rav Elazar, Minayin L'dayin Shliifzal Rosh Hayam Kodesh. How do you know that Dayanim should not walk on Rosh Hayam Kodesh? Shenemar Lo Sala B'malos V'samach Le Ve'ela HaMishpatim. And next to it, it says Ve'ela HaMishpatim. Asher Tosim, Asher Talamde. Why does it say Eila Mishpatim Asher Tosim Bifneim that you should put in front of them? It should be these are Mishpatim that you teach them. So I'm Rav Yirmevi, same Rav Chia Baraba. Elu klei adayanim. These are the klei adayanim. What are the klei adayanim? So Rav Huna ki avi nafek ledine. When Rav Huna would go to din, Amar hachi afiku li mani chanvasa. I will take the tools of my trade. Makol ritzua. Makol and ritzua were to give malchus with. Shufra is the horn which they would the shofar that they would blow to signify a shamta, to signify a cherem on somebody. And sandala. Sandala is for chalitza. V'yetzava shoftechem beisahi. Some Rav Yochanan kinegan makol ritzua. You have to be very zariz regarding the makal and the ritzua. In other words, a dayan has a lot of power. He has the ability to give somebody malchus. He has the ability to excommunicate people, and he has to wield that power in a very responsible way. He can't let it get to his head. He cannot abuse the power. Shemo aben achichem mishvatetem. Amar Rav Chanina azhora lebeisin shelo yishma divrei baldin kodem sheva baldin chavero. It's an azhora to the court that the court shouldn't hear the arguments of one litigant before the other litigant comes to court. The azhora lebaldin shelo yatim dvarav ledayan kodem sheva baldin chavero. And it's also an azhora for the other baldin that he shouldn't try to argue his case in front of the court before his adversary comes to court. Kari bein nami shamoa bein achechem. Rav Kana Amar Meacha. Rav Kana learns it out from here. Melosisa losasi. That it says losisa losasi. Rashi says over here on the first wide line. Losakabel shmoa shav azhor ledayan v'kari nami losasi azhor lebaldin. So losisa is passive. Losasi is active. Just like the dayanim shouldn't hear the arguments of one litigant before the other comes. So too, the litigants themselves should not start presenting their arguments before the other litigant comes. And finally, Yishvatetem Tzedek, Samarish Lokesh, Tzadek Asadin, V'acharkach Chatcheyu. First, you have to make sure that the din is actually correct. You have to have it Tzidek Adin. You have to make sure that the din is fully accurate. And only after that should you actually render the din. Bein Isha Bein Achiv. It says Bein Isha Bein Achiv. Some Rav Yuda Afilu Bein Bayis LaAliyah. Even if you're presiding over the division of assets, you have to distinguish even between a bias and an aliyah to know that the top floor is not worth as much as the bottom floor, to make sure that the division is exactly right. That you even have to distinguish between a tanur and a karayim. That even though they're both types of ovens, you shouldn't say, oh, they're exactly alike. No, they're not. You have to approach things with a tremendous sense of responsibility. Make sure that you get it entirely accurately, and then only after that should you render the verdict. All right, so we'll stop here. Rabbi Leibowitz is back tomorrow, so he'll pick up. It's been a pleasure learning with you guys over the past month, and we will learn together again when the rabbi is away for a few days, a bit later in the summer, God willing.